The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, today is the day. It is game one of the World Series today. Philadelphia Phillies versus the Houston Astros. This was not my prediction for the World Series by any means. The Astros, of course, I actually did expect the Astros to be here. But the Phillies, I did not expect them to be here. So let's get right into this this matchup we have here. So with the Phillies, I mean, it's crazy just because they started off the season. I actually had high expectations for them this year. I did pick them to make the postseason, so I definitely had them there. But I did not expect them to win the World Series, and especially after the way they started the season off. They started off horribly. They end up firing their manager, Joe Girardi, and you kind of feel like their season's over then, and that happened back in, like, May. They were able to rally, and they put together quite the season. Kyle Schwarber, he has just had a phenomenal season. You know, he led the NL in home runs. He was basically only second to Aaron Judge all season long when it came to the home run race. Bryce Harper, you know, he started off the season really hot. Then he got injured. He broke his finger. He had to have surgery on his finger, and he wasn't able to play for a good, like, I think it was like 3-4 months that they didn't have Bryce Harper. But he comes right back, and he has had a phenomenal postseason. Their starting pitching has really put it together with Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler. Those two have just been wheeling and dealing and playing some great, great baseball. And the Phillies are just a team that has got hot at the perfect time. You really can't. There's been so many World Series champions who have done what the Phillies are doing right now, and that is just put together a really solid August, make the playoffs, then not only make the playoffs, but then you come in, nobody's believing in you in any matchup. They take out good team upon good team along the entire way, and they did it. And it didn't even seem like it mattered to them. Like, they just did it so easily. You know, with the Astros, like I said, it was very expected to me that the Astros would make the World Series just because they were the best team in the American League from start to finish. They have the best starting pitching. They have an excellent bullpen. They play great defense. They have a good manager with Dusty Baker. They could perform offensively. They have so many really great veterans. And it's also funny to see them here just because, you know, the cheating stigma sticks with them, as it should. But it's just funny now because there isn't, at least from what we could tell, there isn't any cheating going on with them anymore. And here they are. They absolutely dominated the regular season. They come into the postseason and have yet to lose a game in the postseason. So I think they're ready to just shut everybody up in this World Series. And it's funny because apparently people are still hanging on to this. I'm not, because I'm just not that type of person, really. Plus, I've never really actually had any issues with the Astros. I've actually kind of always respected their organization and just a lot of their players that they've had along the way. So I've never had any problems with the Astros. Also, I live here in Texas, so it's I just don't have a problem with the Astros. As a matter of fact, I can't stand the Rangers. Even though I do respect the Rangers as an organization, I respect their fans because they're real ass fans too, by the way. But they did lose to my Giants. They did in the World Series back in 2010. So they gave us our first World Series, which was hilarious. But I've never really cared much for the Rangers. But the Astros, I've just never really had a problem with. But I do think the Astros are going to continue their reign in the postseason, and I feel like I would not be shocked if they were able to get another sweep in the postseason, but I'm not going to disrespect the Phillies like that. I think Houston will get the win in the World Series in 5 games. So I think Dusty Baker will finally get his first World Series as a manager. I mean, he's been in the league literally like his entire life. He's achieved so many things along the way. He was a player to begin with. Now he's been a manager forever and a day, and he has just never been able to get an elusive World Series. So it would be great to see Dusty Baker finally get a World Series win. I think he is going to get it this time around just because, like I said, the Astros are just the best team in the league. I don't think, while the Phillies do have a good starting pitching staff behind Nola and Wheeler, after those two, it gets very shaky. Whereas the Astros, they have spectacular starting pitching from top to bottom. They have literally two of the best pitchers in the game with Valdez and Verlander, who are just pitching out of their minds. And but then also, you have Yordan Alvarez, who just had a phenomenal season that I think really got overshadowed because, you know, Aaron Judge had such a record-breaking, amazing season that his season kind of overshadowed what Yordan Alvarez did. But Alvarez had a spectacular year for the Astros, and that's actually going to be my prediction for MVP for the World Series as well, just because he is a huge driving force for them. He's always big in the clutch. He just always makes great plays, and I just kind of feel like he's going to shine in the World Series. There are so many players to pick from for the Astros. You know, they've got Altuve, who's just a spectacular leadoff hitter. You've got Jeremy Pena, this rookie who's just come out of nowhere he was the ALCS MVP, so he's just doing great. You know, like I mentioned, Verlander, Valdez, Bregman has just had a great like last 4 months. I mean, he's continued his reign from the end of the season all the way into the postseason. So really, I just feel like the Astros are too good to beat. The Phillies are a good, solid team. I think they will give the Astros a run for their money, but I think the Astros are pretty much going to win this one easily, and I think Astros get the World Series win in 5 games. And also, you know, even though my team's nowhere near the World Series, you know, the San Francisco Giants, they were a pathetic-ass team this year, kind of like my Lakers are right now. But I always do have a team I am rooting for, and I actually am rooting for the Astros because, for one, I don't root for Philadelphia teams. It's just not in me to do that. I guess I could root for the Phillies if they were playing like the Dodgers, but they're playing the Astros. As I said, I don't have an issue with the Astros. So I am rooting for the Astros. Like I said, I would really like to see Dusty Baker finally get a World Series win because he did used to manage the Giants back in the day. And, so it will be nice to hopefully see him finally get that last accomplishment that he needs to achieve. So I'm rooting for the Astros. I know a lot of people aren't because of the whole cheating shit, but I don't give a shit about that. So go Astros. Now let's move on to the NFL, and starting off with last night's Thursday night football game, the Baltimore Ravens beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27-22. It actually was a very, very slow game to start. Actually, the first couple of drives, it looked like it was going to be scoring galore because the Ravens were able to take advantage of a punting turnover from the Bucs and get set up in really good field position. They were able to start off with a field goal. Then the Buccaneers come out on their first drive, and they score, and then all of a sudden it's 10-3 Buccaneers, and you're thinking, oh man, this is going to be a good game. But then it just really it just went nowhere the rest of the first half. Then the majority of the second half, it really didn't get going until the fourth quarter. The Ravens were finally able to take the lead, and the Bucs just were not able to ever get it going. It's just really odd to see because the Bucs, the last couple of seasons, have really been known for their high-flying, high-powered offense, and they just can't seem to get it going no matter what the issue is. It looks like they definitely need to keep Fournette in the game. And what I mean by that is, like, they'll start off, like, the first half giving him the ball, and then the second half they'll go completely away from him. And it just kind of seems like the receivers are dropping a lot of passes. Tom Brady doesn't have a lot of time, and he is now the most sacked quarterback of all time. He broke Ben Roethlisberger's record last night. When you play this long, you're going to break a lot of records, even if they're bad records. So he broke that. Also, with the loss, it is now Brady's first three-game losing streak of his career since 2002. This is also the first time in his career where he's been two games below 500. So right now, it's just not a good season for Brady and the Buccaneers as a whole. Their defense really did not look good at all. Their offense did not look good at all. And it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to get some type of spark going, but I don't know. And the Ravens didn't look that great either. They just were able to, Lamar Jackson basically just carried them like he always does. He was the real reason why they scored on those last couple of drives to take the lead and ultimately just to push the lead out even further. But it was just a very weird game from both teams. I still don't feel very confident in either team to really do anything come postseason. But Ravens did end up getting the win 27-22. And we'll see what we're going to get from those teams moving forward. But it was a very, very weird game last night from both teams. All right, and then let's get into Sunday's games, beginning with the final game of the season in London. We've got the Denver Broncos at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are a 4.5-point favorite. I just kind of feel like this game is going to be a very sloppy game. It looks like Russell Wilson will be back and starting at quarterback for the Broncos, but I don't think that really matters at this rate. I don't think they have any identity, and I don't think they're going to find an identity magically at any point in the season. Whereas the Jaguars, they've shown that they have it. They still have a lot of work to do, but offensively, they do have some movement, and I do think they will be able to put together a good enough game to get the win here over Denver. And I've got Jacksonville winning this one 20-10. Then the first morning game after the London game is going to be the Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Falcons are a 6.5-point favorite. Carolina is coming off of a crazy win last week. I think that was more of a fluke more than anything. Atlanta's not that good of a team either, but I think offensively, they have a lot going on, and they're going to be able to score a lot of points on the Panthers, who are just a team who I feel like are playing for next year, really. They're probably going to get a high, decent draft pick for next year. They got a whole haul of draft picks from the Christian McCaffrey trade. So I think they're just more working towards next year. Well, the Falcons should be working towards next year also, but I still think they have a little bit more in juice in the tank and a lot more to play for than the Panthers do at this point in time. So I think Atlanta's going to get the win 28-14. Then we have the Chicago Bears at my Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are a 9.5-point favorite. I think what Chicago did against New England wasn't really a big deal. I think for them, it was a big deal, but just generally speaking, it was two shitty teams playing each other, and just Chicago was able to get the better of the Patriots. I think the Cowboys are going to put together a very solid game. You know, this is going to be Dak's second game back from injury. I think he's going to have a lot to prove. He was able to put together a very solid game in the last one, but I kind of feel like this game, he's gonna have to take over offensively and really get it going. Defensively, I don't worry about the Cowboys. They do have the best defense in the league. They have a ton of turnovers, a ton of sacks, and I feel like they're just going to key off on that and continue that reign of terror, and Justin Fields is going to have nowhere to go, and I think the Cowboys are going to kick the crap out of the Bears 27-7. Then we have the Miami Dolphins at the Detroit Lions. Right now, Miami is a 3.5-point favorite. Detroit is just such a difficult team to really gauge. They only have one win on the season, and every time I want to take them, they just continue to let me down. So while I don't think the Dolphins are that great, I think they're a better team, and I think they'll put up more of a fight than Detroit will, especially because lately, you know, Detroit started off the season really hot offensively, but they've really quieted down the last couple of games, especially. So I think Miami's just going to come in and get a solid win 24-17. Then we've got the Arizona Cardinals at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 4.5-point favorite. The Cardinals, I still don't really believe in them. I still don't think they have any type of identity. And you could just tell that there's a lot going on between Kyler Murray and the coaching staff and that they just don't really like each other. So I don't know how, I mean, so far that's been a problem, and I don't think it just got better magically over 1 week. Whereas Minnesota, they've been very solid, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They're coming off of a bye week. They're at home. I actually expect Minnesota to dominate this game 30-20. Then we've got the Las Vegas Raiders at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Vegas Raiders are a 2.5-point favorite. I think New Orleans is what New Orleans is. I didn't really expect them to be a good team. I expected them to get a few good wins, but overall, I didn't really see them being good at all, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And defensively, they're actually starting to show a lot of problems as well. Whereas Vegas, they have their moments, but their losses have just been these really, we've made a bunch of stupid mistake losses. And they did get a good win last week, and I think they're only going to build off of that win. And I think they're going to go into New Orleans and stomp the Saints 28-14. Then we've got the New England Patriots at the New York Jets. Right now, the Patriots are 1.5-point favorite, and that's really just because the Patriots own the Jets. The Patriots have beat the Jets the last 12 times. So that's really got to stick with the Jets, and at some point, this is going to end. And lucky for them, the Jets are actually playing really well. I wouldn't call them a for-real team yet where I believe they have a chance at doing anything come the postseason, but I definitely think they're going to fuck some teams up this year, and they really are starting to finally show some promise, whereas the Patriots are just in such disarray. You had the whole issue last week with they start the game with Mac Jones, then they put in Zeppi, and both quarterbacks sucked it up. They got their asses beat at home, and I really don't think it's going to be a different story this week. I think New England we'll be able to put up some points, but I really think the Jets are probably going to dominate this game from start to finish. And I think the Jets finally, finally get a win over the New England Patriots 21-13. Then you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Philadelphia Eagles. And right now the Eagles are a 10.5-point favorite. And I pretty much expect them to kick the crap out of the Steelers. The Steelers are not a very good team at all, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they haven't really shown much either since TJ Watt's been out. Whereas the Eagles, they're coming off of a bye week. They are the only undefeated team in the league. And while this is normally a big rivalry between the two, it's an in-state rivalry. I don't think it's going to be much of a game. I think Philadelphia is going to roll over Pittsburgh 30-17. Then turning to the afternoon games, we've got the Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Titans are a 3.5-point favorite, and I don't really expect much from the Texans in this game. They are just trying to get a win any way they possibly can. Whereas the Titans seem to have finally got things going with Derrick Henry. He's really back on track. So now that they found him and he's rolling, I expect him to run all over Houston. And I've got the Titans winning this one 20-6. Then you've got the Washington Commanders at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Colts are a 4.5-point favorite. They did just bench Matt Ryan earlier in the week for Sam Ehlinger. So we'll see if he's able to provide them some type of spark. I don't know how much of a spark Ehlinger is going to provide. Maybe just a little bit more movement than Matt Ryan gave you. Just because that offensive line is very shaky in Indianapolis. But Washington is not a good team at all. They're a team that's just been in disarray from the jump. And I just think it's really just a matter of time before Ron Rivera either just quits and just says, fuck this, I'm done with this shit, or if the Commanders finally fire him. Regardless, I feel like this is Ron Rivera's last season with Washington, as it should be, just because I feel like Ron Rivera is just wasting his time there. I think I actually have respect for Ron Rivera. I think he was a great defensive coordinator, and I feel like he's been a very solid coach his entire career. It's just he went to Washington, and I don't think Tom Landry could have, the ghost of Tom Landry could have saved them and brought them back to the Super Bowl. So I just feel like this season for Washington is just going to be awful. And I really am only leaning towards the Colts in this one just because they're at home, but I've got the Colts winning this one 24-14. Then you've got the San Francisco 49ers at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the 49ers are a 2.5-point favorite. The Niners have really just owned the Rams over the years. The Rams were finally able to get over that hump in the postseason last year. But the regular season has been a whole different story. But the Rams are coming off of a bye week. The Niners are coming off of a pretty bad ass whipping from the Chiefs. The Niners, they've been a very weird team where they've had a great defense that's been able to carry them. But offensively, there's been a lot of questions. Debo Samuel's hurt, so I think that's going to factor into what happens with them offensively. Now, I do expect this to be a good game from both teams. I think it's going to be a battle probably all the way till the final play of the game. But I do have the Rams winning this one, 28-27. And then the last game of the afternoon is the New York Giants at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 2.5-point favorite. The Giants are basically the surprise team of the season. They have only lost one game on the season to my Dallas Cowboys, of course. But the Seahawks are also very surprising. You know, I actually expected them to be as bad as the Texans this year and be struggling to get a win. And they're actually over 500. They're leading their division right now over the 49ers, the Rams, and the Cardinals. Yet the Seahawks lead their division. So that's just crazy. Geno Smith has just had a resurgence. Just a crazy year that you just never expected from this guy who's been bench riding for God knows how many years now. But Seattle's really put it together. And the Giants, I think, they've also put it together, but I don't really believe in them. And I think they're due for a loss at some point, and I feel like this is going to be the time where I feel like both teams are kind of the same team. But the Giants are due for a loss. Seattle's at home. So I have Seattle winning a close one, 17-14. And then the Sunday night game is the Green Bay Packers at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 10.5-point favorite. That's a lot. I actually am kind of shocked by that. While Green Bay is playing like shit right now, I still think Green Bay is going to put up a fight. I feel like Aaron Rodgers has too much pride to suck this bad for that long, but hey, who knows? He and Tom Brady have been having very, very weird seasons, but also at the same time, it's still early. We're only like halfway through the season, so a lot can change, but it's just kind of weird to see that both Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are not having the typical seasons they're used to having. So they're going to have a lot to overcome. And this is going to be a huge test for the Packers because they've lost to some really bad teams over the last couple of weeks. And the Bills, they look like probably the best team in the league. Defensively, they're great. They are turning the ball over like no other on the defensive side of the ball. But then offensively, Josh Allen, he's just having an MVP-type season. Stephon Diggs is having a great season. So they're really putting it together, and they're coming off of a bye week. They're at home. So I don't expect this to be a typical Buffalo Bills runaway. I do think Green Bay is going to put up a good fight and actually make this a good game, but I think Buffalo is going to get the win 28-20. All right, and we did have a little bit happen in the NBA this week. Let's go ahead and start off with my shitty-ass fucking Lakers, who are 0-4 right now on the season. It was announced that apparently Russell Westbrook will be coming off of the bench, at least for the time being. And I just got to say thank God, but let's get rid of the dude. I don't see why he is still in a Lakers uniform. I don't even care that this team is asking for this and this team's asking for that. You know what? Get him out of here. I don't know what the team is going to look like without him, but if anything, that dude will be gone. He is a total fucking cancer to the team, and I can't fucking stand seeing him just causing so much chaos, and it's only 4 games into the season. Now, I am pissed off, but I am still repping my Lakers today. I'm wearing a Magic Johnson jersey, and I was completely Lakers'd out when I went to the grocery store. I had my Lakers jacket on. I had my hat on. So I still rock with my team, even though we're 0-4. But God fucking damn, this team needs to put some shit together because they are looking awful. The fucking Sacramento Queens are 0-4. We're as bad as them right now. So that should say a lot. But the Lakers really got to get it going. But we're not the only team playing like shit right now. The Brooklyn Nets are also playing like shit. And not only are the Nets as a team playing like shit, but of course, good old Ben Simmons is playing like shit too. The dude has fouled out more times than he's scored points at this rate. The Nets are a appalling 1-4 on the season, so they're not much better than the Lakers. They at least have one win, but overall, this Nets team looks like trash as well. And it is very early in the season, so yes, these teams I'm discussing can turn it around, but Jesus Christ, it's looking bad for the Nets. And the whole Ben Simmons experience is not looking like it's a good one. And Simmons is looking like he's just slowly pushing himself out of the league just even further and further, because this dude, I can't even tell if he wants to play basketball at all. And then we also have the Philadelphia 76ers playing like shit right now, too. They are a 1-4 on the season as well, and they just have not looked good at all. Now, I think it's more just it's the beginning of the season, and they'll get it going once the season progresses on, but they are not playing well at all. As a matter of fact, the only team right now who is undefeated in the league is the Milwaukee Bucks. They are 3-0, so they are currently the only team right now in the league who could say they are still undefeated. But the Bucks look really fucking good, and they're missing some dudes to injury, so I kind of feel like the Bucks are just going to get even better as the season goes on. And we do have a top five list today. A few episodes ago, I was talking about like NFL rules, and there are too many rules, and there are a lot of rules I would actually get rid of. So today's top five list is actually going to be the top five penalties I'd remove from the NFL, because these are five that just piss me off on a weekly basis for the most part. There's one on here, which is my number five, which doesn't happen every game, but when I see the other four, they happen just about every game, and they piss me off. I feel like they ruin the game. I feel like there's too many rules in the game, and they're way too concerned with player safety and all that stupid bullshit. When it's like they're playing a sport, they're gonna get hurt, blah, blah, blah. I don't root for them to get hurt, but I'm sorry, you're playing a sport. That's the consequences of the game. If you don't want to get injured, well, then you should probably not be playing football. So there's been many stupid, idiotic rules created, especially over the last, like, 15 years. They've become really soft with a lot of the rules. And so these are the top five that I would absolutely get rid of because they piss me off on a weekly basis. So let's start off with number five, and that would be clipping. Basically, what clipping is when an offensive lineman kind of blocks a defensive lineman from behind, below the waist. And one thing that they really wanted to take out of the game was when one goes low and the other goes high. So like one offensive lineman will take the defensive lineman out below the waist, and then another offensive lineman will take him out above the waist. And so they're basically just knocking the dude down. And the reason why they mostly took it out of the game is because of concussions and knee injuries. Every time I see it, I just think it's an annoying play because offensive linemen barely get to, like, be grimy and dirty and have that type of a play. And so you're just taking out, like, the one time that the offensive lineman can finally fucking do something for once. By the way, I have a lot of respect for offensive linemen. I'm not saying they don't do anything. They have probably the most important job on the field. But I'm just saying offensive linemen aren't known for, like, being really grimy and dirty and doing all this shit. So, like, clipping is, like, the one and only time offensive linemen were allowed to be like, ah, knocked the motherfucker out, finally took him out, and now they can't do that anymore. And every time they call it, too, it's just always so ticky-tack and stupid. So clipping, number five on my top five penalties I'd remove from the NFL. Then at number four, I hate this one, and it happens every single game. It's been a rule they changed many years ago. This one they mostly changed because, the rules these days lead more towards offense and scoring because they want – They know offense and scoring is what people want to see. So they've really hampered down on defense. And this rule right here just pisses me off. And it's illegal contact. A defensive player, defensive back can't touch the wide receiver or tight end past 5 yards. And if he does, he gets a penalty called on him. And it just pisses me off every time, especially because I do watch old games from back in the day. So when I'm watching like old stuff that I grew up with, when I'm watching like Deion Sanders and Darren Woodson and Jason Sehorn and the guys of old who used to play cornerback and safety, they would get really handsy and they would push you and shove you. And there would be times where you'd be watching Jerry Rice. He'd get pushed and he'd get up and he'd get pushed back down. And I just loved fucking seeing that shit because Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver of all time, if not greatest football player of all time. And that just tells you how great of a player he was because he had to go up against the best who were literally just pushing him down on each and every play, and dude would still get up and get past them and still be one of the greatest of all time. And nowadays, you can't even touch a motherfucker, and they'll call it on you, and it just pisses me off because I totally miss the old days where you could just push a motherfucker right at the line and then just keep jostling with them the whole way down, and they've taken that fun out of the game, of course. Then at number three on my top five penalties I'd remove from the NFL, I would move the kickoffs back to the normal 25-yard kickoff rather than the 35-yard line that the kickoff now, because the kickoff has essentially turned into like the most pointless part of the game, because almost every time they kick it, it's a touchback. And almost every time you can't even get an onside kick for the most part these days because you can't. The rules have just changed so much with the kickoff. All because of safety, because we don't want guys to get injured, even though they still fucking get injured at higher rates than more now than ever. That's what the total irony is over all these dumbass rules that have been implemented. It's all in the guise of safety. And yes, the almighty concussion numbers have gone down, but knee injuries, shoulder injuries have all skyrocketed since then. So the almighty safety police haven't done shit, but they've implemented all these idiotic rules. And one of them is they've moved the kickoff to the 35-yard line. And it's so boring. It's so stupid. You almost never have kickoffs run back for touchdowns. You almost never see an onside successful kick. And if you do see a successful onside kick, it is such a fluky fucking instance. You can't even try and have any type of strategy for this shit. So I would move the kickoff back to the 25-yard line so we could actually have some decent shit going on for once, instead of a touchback every fucking kickoff. Then at number two on my top five penalties I'd remove from the NFL, launching and hitting a defenseless player. That has taken so much fun out of the game. One of my favorite players of all time is Ronnie Lott. Ronnie Lott would not even be able to exist in today's NFL because that motherfucker would launch into you and knock a motherfucker out, and it would be the most entertaining shit to ever see on the field. Now, if you just, sometimes when I see a guy get clocked, there's even been a couple of games the last couple of weeks where even the announcers, they didn't call a penalty, but the announcers were like, oh my God, oh, that should have been a penalty, Jesus Christ. And it just gets so fucking annoying because even the clean shots are so like jarring to the pussies of America these days. And so it's just taken so much fun out of the game because now you really can barely tackle a dude. And there's so many times where like the guy is launching as the ball is in the air and he's expecting the receiver to catch it, and the contact knocks the ball out, but they call it a penalty because it was a defenseless player. And it just is so stupid. It's taken so much fun out of the game, and I'm just so sick of that shit. But number one on my top five penalties I'd remove from the NFL are basically any and all roughing the passer calls. Now, I understand roughing the passer does need to exist, the penalty. Of course, you don't want to see a defender take a dude's arm and twist it behind his back and just rip his arm out of the shoulder socket. No, of course, that should be roughing the passer, 100%. But this shit where you can't even, like, tackle the quarterback anymore, this shit where he's running and he slides, and if you even breathe on the dude, there comes a flag. Every time you, like, even just, like, wave in their vicinity, and they all, I know everybody likes to point out that Tom Brady does it, but no, every quarterback does it. When you even just breathe on them, they're looking at the ref like, excuse me, where's the flag? So that's how they all look. And you know why they all look like that? Because that's how the rules are fucking designed. You can barely touch the quarterback these days, and it's annoying as shit. And the whole reason why they invented this rule is because they want to protect their investment, because the quarterbacks are always the highest paid player on the team for the most part. And they want to make sure he doesn't get injured. But like I've already stated before in this this Trop 5 rant of mine of these penalties, all these penalties were designed to prevent injuries, and the injuries have gone through the roof. And now it's going to be funny to see, because now with the whole Tua controversy and that shit that happened with him and his concussion, they're going to take guys out even earlier now if they even show any type of sign of concussion. So you're actually going to be taking guys out when you wanted them to stay in the game and you invented all these dumbass roughing the passer rules to keep them in the game. But if they even get a little bit starry-eyed, you're going to take them out of the game. So it doesn't make any fucking sense. But like I said, I would get rid of just about every type of roughing the passer call they have invented, from the shoving them into the ground, from hitting them, quote, too late, from when they're in the open field running. That used to be open season on quarterbacks when they were running. Not these days. If they slide and you even just throw your jersey just even grazes their face, excuse me, here comes the flag. So those are the top five penalties I'd remove from the NFL, because it just gets annoying every week. I see these penalties every week. They piss me off. And when I watch old games, I'm like, shit, man. It used to be, I still love football, but man, the stupid fucking penalties they have these days, it's so annoying. It ruins the game. I know they're not going to go back in time and change these rules, but I just thought it would be fun to name off my top five penalties I'd like to remove from the NFL, because they're annoying. And I know I'm not the only one with this opinion either. I know we're not supposed to discuss these things anymore. We're all supposed to act like we give a shit about the safety of these players. But as I've stated before, A, in football, they're all grown-ass men. So they're all choosing this route in life. At this point in time, if you aren't aware of the injuries and the debilitations you're going to suffer post-career, you're an idiot, and that's on you, dude. But these are grown men. They're making their own decisions with their own bodies, their body, their choice. And if they suffer some fucked up injuries, I'm sorry, that's the name of the game. And like I said before, I don't root for injuries. I don't want to see injuries, but they're a part of the game. And I love this game. I love watching football. But these rules, I think, really have hampered the game and made it slightly less fun to watch. Obviously, I still watch every fucking game religiously. But these type of rules make it more difficult to watch every Sunday. But I still tune in. I still love football. But when I'm watching games from back in the day, it's so much more fun to see the level of play on the field as opposed to today. And I'm not trying to call the guys on the field pussies. I actually have great respect for all athletes at all levels, but it's not their fault that these rules are implemented. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of them would actually like to skirt a lot of these rules that involved with concussions and injuries to just continue to play, because they're warriors and that's who they are. I think a lot of the rules by all the higher ups and all the people on the outside who aren't actually playing have too much say and are ruining the game. But hey, I still watch, and I will still be watching this weekend. So World Series kicks off tonight. Got tons of basketball on tap, tons of college football, tons of NFL football, hockey, UFC. What a great time to be a sports fan, people. I will talk to you all on Monday.